Our hearts are full with thanksgiving, and we say, thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion, no contradiction. Our pros can have all. By the Spirit of God, we would much more than ever before be strengthened on our inner man to do the work which He has called us for. And we'll be cross kiffon, debo shkina maskafa. Yes, we'll rely yet more on His ability, His supernatural ability. For in that ability is the equipping that we need to do His will on the earth. In that ability is the equipping, the strength, the weapon we need. The weapon of light that we need to shine in the dark place. The weapon of light that God needs to shine in the dark place. For cross schema now, egrotis upon the vonakoshi, vrokusi padonivo. Yes, for the devil thought he had the last say, but God through the resurrection has given us the final say. Amen. And through that ability, we have received of His Spirit, the indwelling Spirit of God. We receive that which we need for the task He has called us.
Amen.
That which He has placed in our hands. We will yet like soldiers.
Amen.
Yet like soldiers.
Amen.
Yet like soldiers.
Amen.
March to the battlefield.
Amen.
With an assurance.
Amen.
What is the battlefield? The battlefield really is the heart of men that are in darkness.
Yes.
And that is where we fight the greatest war. The greatest
yes.
war on the earth. The greatest war over the hearts of men are the war, or is the war that we'll give ourselves to. And we'll prioritize that war as a war that we have the victory on the inside about. And we'll be sure that with thanksgiving we'll proceed right to the battlefield.
Amen.
And in the middle of where the battle seems to be fierce, we'll give our attention to the strength and the ability of the froske on the moshkin protis upon the key. Adosevronashko protes a fiend at the bar. Yes, to the strength and the ability of our Lord and Savior.
Amen.
And we'll yet more like soldiers. Just match with the confidence and boldness. For we know that we are well equipped, even though we don't look like it. For we know that we have tongues on our lips. We have the knowledge of His word in our hearts. We received of His love in our hearts as well. And we know that with that love, we are rest assured that the victory is His. And we will yet more, like never before, see more men. Lit with the light of His gospel.
Amen.
We'll see yet more like than never before. More men lit with the light of His gospel.
Amen.
I will see those men come out into the light and stand in the light with us, the kingdom of the light. I will see them as well take the candle right into the middle of darkness and bring strange people out of the bondage of sin and death.
Amen.
Now in the coming days, you will not look at people for as and the way they look. You will not prioritize how they look or how people look when you look at them with your physical eyes.
Yeah.
What you see is, what you do is, you will see people with the eyes of the Spirit and see people as people who God wants to use. Why?
Yeah.
Because the truth of God's word shows us that God's will is that the earth is filled with the knowledge of His glory.
Amen.
As the waters covers the sea.
Amen.
And in obedience, we will not draw back. Yeah, we will not draw back. We are not scared. We are not scared. We won't draw back. We won't draw back. We won't draw back. We will go with boldness and assurance that what the victory is ours. And we will see that more men than ever before will come right into the middle of the kingdom of His light. And we all rejoicing, holding our hands together back into darkness to bring much more people back into His kingdom. Hallelujah. Thus says the Lord of hosts. Glory to God. We give you all the praise. We thank you, Lord Jesus. As we go into the world this morning, our hearts are open to receive the word this morning. I will declare and decree that at the end of today's teaching, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Matthew's Gospel 28. Matthew's Gospel 28. Praise God forevermore. So we're looking at the series, The Local Church. Right? The Local Church. Matthew's Gospel 28. Go all the way to verse 18 quickly this morning. We're trying to examine what is it about the local church. Why is the local church important? You know, let me tell you something as simple. You see, one of the best decisions you can make after being born again is to become a member of a local church. Are we together? Right? After being born again, your next most important thing is not the highest paying job. Your next most important thing is not the best car to drive. Your next most important thing is the local church. So we're doing this series to examine it. Why exactly is the local church important? Now, I usually say this thing, and I've said it over the years, but I'll say it again today. And take note of this. A man cannot live above his understanding of his God. Yeah? A man cannot live above his understanding of his God. A man cannot live above his understanding of his God. So, your understanding of your God creates a cap to how your life will go. That's very important to note. Your understanding of your God will create a cap. So, you know, growing up, I'm still growing up, right? Right? I usually hear lots of people and friends, people who say things around how they serve God from their rooms. Are we together? Right? You know, I don't do church. We hear people say those kind of things.
Yeah.
I don't do church. Church is not, I just worship God in my room. I just serve God. God hears me, I hear him. And I just study the word for myself. That's one of the greatest jokes that has been told in our world. You see, God has designed himself that man understands God by looking at man. That is why, even though God has been in existence right from the beginning, prophets across hundreds of years were revealing who God was to man, or God is to man. To the point that even after those things were done and were said, God still had to come as a man. To the point that when he came as a man, people did not still see the importance of his coming as a man. And they killed him. But in killing him, they didn't know that what they were doing, they were playing the script. So Jesus will die, come as a man, he will die as a man, and he will resurrect and teach. Are we together? As a man. Are we here?
Yes.
You see, when Jesus taught them in Acts 1 for 40 days, he didn't teach as a spirit. He taught as a man. And the instruction he gave them was what? Go make disciples. So it means that discipleship will happen through men. Do you get that? Discipleship on earth will happen through men. You cannot claim to study the Bible for yourself and not be a member of the local church. You cannot claim to study the Bible for yourself and not be associated with a community. So when you see people say those kind of things, no, I don't do church. I don't do church. Church is not my thing. Church is not my thing. Church is not my thing. I know God for myself. You know my shelf. I know God for my shelf. I read the word myself. You see, I just woke up on Sunday morning and I just give the Lord praise. I just give the Lord glory and I just worship. I just play Christian songs on the background. And I just listen to messages and I just give my offering to the orphanage. And I just, you know, you cannot read the Bible well and not see the instruction to gather with people. So that's the first sign that you're not reading the Bible well. Altogether, that's the first sign that you're not reading the Bible as well as you need to. So why are we doing this series? We're trying to establish what exactly is the goal of local church and how do you behave in the local church. So Matthew's Gospel 28 says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, the word the power in Matthew's Gospel 28:18 is the word authority. And he said, it's given unto me in heaven and in earth. Look at verse 19. It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. It says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, we've looked at the word teach in Matthew's Gospel 28:19. We said the word there, teach, is the word that means to what? Make disciples. Right? The word that means to make disciples. So, what is the instruction that Jesus gave his disciples? Go into the world and what? teach, that is, make people students, right? So it is God's will that men are students. It is God's will that men are interns. So we are called into a world of internship as believers. So in the last 2 weeks, we've looked at the teaching of the anointed people, right? I'll give you a quick recap. We saw that Jacob, in the book of Genesis 28, right, he saw a vision. And when he saw the vision, what did the Bible say? The Bible says he anointed the place. Remember that? I went faster than my shadow, right? So what did he do? He poured oil on the place. Then when the angel will come back and meet Jacob, he would say, the place you anointed, right? So God did not ask Abraham to pour anointing oil. Are we together? Abraham, based on his culture, when he experienced something sacred in a place, he poured oil. In point oil, you can call it anointed oil or anointing oil. You can, I'm not saying it is. You can. How many of you grew up drinking olive oil? Oh, you didn't drink olive oil. All of you, you've been in sound doctrine from the... I drank olive oil. The gallon of olive oil is here. You know, that's out of my belly. In my belly should release water for you. Out of my belly shall flow. Sister, I need to be careful about you. Rivers of living water. Yeah. You know those songs? I like you people. You are all for sound things. Yeah. So why did I just say you're all for sound things? Because that song is not sound. I'm not joking about it. Yeah. So now we drank anointing oil every morning. And sometimes I grew up in a family where my parents anointed my head. And perfect good. Is there anything wrong in anointing your head? No. Is there anything wrong in anointing the head of your child? No. Is there anything wrong in putting oil in your child's mouth? No. But you must know that much more than putting oil in people's mouths, there is a lot about knowledge you need to have. All together. I have healed people with anointing oil. You know what I call, when I mean anointing, I mean Goya. You know Goya? Yeah. Right? Yeah, you know Goya. And those people really got money from us. Yeah? You know, Goya is literally, you can use to fry. Yeah, can use to fry. So people, what they used to fry everything they fry in their house is what's Goya. Why? Because it's anointed. There is nothing anointed about the bottle of Goya. However, you can make the bottle of Goya anointed. Yeah. Yeah. I've used the Goya bottle to do a lot of things. Yeah. I've used someone got healed of, we had two people who got healed in God's Palace, Nigeria, a couple years ago from Holy Communion table, bread and wine. Do you understand? You know, and once that happened, as a church, you know, we don't take communion, right? We'll teach on it very soon. Why don't we take bread and wine, right? A lot of times we miss the importance of what the Bible teaches, right? Why don't we baptize people? Yeah, it's interesting to know that I've done a teaching on bread and wine that lasted close to 20 hours. Yeah, so if you want to quickly know the answer before I teach it in the UK, right, the tracks are on our website. Just look for Investigating Scriptures, Communion Table, or Water Baptism. So why don't you do those things? We've taught in the Scriptures. Now, a lot of times, what we do is that we take some things and make them the deals. But really, they are things that are supposed to be means to ends. Yeah, you can raise a dead body by baptizing them in the water. But mindset needs to be, what is the idea? You know the scripture, by stripes I am healed. Yeah. Yeah, I've used that to heal, I don't want to list strange sicknesses this morning, but I've used that to heal strange sicknesses. But guess what? I use that scripture out of context. Yeah, because when the Bible teaches by stripes we are healed, it's not talking about cancer or malaria. All together, right? By stripes we are healed. Peter will record that and tell you, we are sheep who went astray. We returned back to the bishop and shepherd of our souls. That's in 1 Peter. Is it 1 Peter or 2 Peter? Right? And what he's teaching is, so by stripes we are healed, is a teaching on reconciliation. So by his stripes, every believer is healed. It's not that, you know, I used to say it this way, we're healed 2,000 years ago, but we need to receive it now. Every believer is healed by his stripe, in that every believer has been reconciled back to Jesus. Let me show you now. Look at Peter. These some of you are looking at me. Look at, I think it's 2 Peter. Is 2 Peter or 1st? It should be 1st, right? Look at 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. 1 Peter 2, 21. Don't forget, you are in Matthew 28. Oh. Yeah, that's where you are. Look at 1 Peter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were he called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. So what is Peter talking about? The sufferings of Christ as an example. Look at verse 22. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Look at verse 23. Who, when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but he committed himself to him that judged righteously. Let's read verse 24 together as a church. 1, 2, 3, go. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes... So, what was he talking about? Sin. Righteousness. Sin. Righteousness. Peter cannot from the blues come and just tell you, by stripes you are healed, it's cancer and malaria. That's what we read from verse 21. He's talking about sin. So, verse 24 now says, who himself bare our sins in his body, that we, being dead to sin... So, to be dead to sin should live unto righteousness. Will mean that to be healed will mean to live unto righteousness. To be dead in sin is to be sick. So what is sickness in Bible language? To be in sin. What is healing? To be rescued from sin. Did you get that? So when it says by stripes, so by stripes will mean when you think of the work on the cross and the resurrection from the cross, what that supplies fundamentally is a deliverance from sin. It's in your Bible. In case you missed that point, look at the next verse. It tells you by whose stripes you are healed, verse 25. For ye were as sheep going where? Astray, but are now returned unto the what? Shepherd and the bishop. So the returning to the shepherd and bishop of the soul is the healing that is supplied by the stripes. Did you get that?
Yeah?
So, that I've used by stripes to heal before doesn't mean that knowledge is right. However, God in his almightiness is always ready to heal regardless of the knowledge of man. Are we together? God does not look at your knowledge before he supplies his healing power or before his healing power can be seen. It's regardless of your knowledge. No, see, that's how God has made it. He bypasses your knowledge. That's why as saints, don't get yourself trapped up in knowing only the word and losing out on how the word produces power. What you will become is somebody that knows all the Greek word, but you cannot heal it. Are we together? So what does the resurrection of Christ do for us? It empowers us, and in empowering us, what happens? We have the power to heal sicknesses. Did you get that? Okay, so does God heal physical sicknesses? Does God heal physical sicknesses?
Yes,
now affirmative. Does God heal spiritual sicknesses?
Yes.
So only God is the God that heals both physical and spiritual. Are we together? Man can use medical things to take care of physical, but man cannot take care of spiritual. The only way man can take care of spiritual is man adapting to the power of God, right, and teaching the message of God to heal spiritually. That means a man has a sins forgiven, what you call born again. So a man that is born again is a man that is healed.
Yeah.
Are we together?
Yeah.
So when was that work done? 2,000 years ago. So now we have received of it now, we are now empowered. Yeah. So why did I take you there? To show you that in Bible language, there are lots of things you pay attention to. So Jacob will have a vision, and the vision, he will see a ladder. And he will see what God is doing on the earth. And he will call the place what? Bethel. Remember that. What is Bethel? the house of God, right? So Jacob will see what God wants to do on the earth. And he will say, God will say to Jacob, there's a covenant with you about thy seed, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. Right? We said that the promise to Jacob is the same promise to Abraham and the same promise to Isaac. So why do you call God the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? People who believe God, there's something called God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, are the ones fighting that Pastor Saul is taking over church. With Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Is that not family? Three generations. Mm-hmm. Not just father, not just son, grandson. Are we here? So, the promise to Abraham, why do we say God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? It is because God is the God that made the same promise he made to Abraham, to Isaac, and made the same promise to Jacob. What is the promise? He says, in thee shall the nations of the earth be blessed, and kings shall come out of thee. Now, we'll start explaining something. What Jacob saw, he anointed the place, and we call the place anointed Bethel. Is that true?
Yeah.
So, what is anointed Bethel? Anointed Bethel is a place where people that are anointed are found. So when the Bible says, touch not my anointed, and do my prophet no harm. We taught this 2 Sundays ago, right? When the Bible says, touch not my anointed, and do my prophet no harm, he's not talking about your pastors alone. You get that? You know, let me say that differently. Sometimes we pastors can decide to mess up. And in messing up, we try to what? Protect ourselves by saying, touch not the anointed. Ah, pastor is not for you. Altogether. Yeah. That is not me saying because the pastor has told you everybody is anointed, you go and look for pastors to go and criticize. Are we together?
Yeah.
There's some people, the only time you hear them talk about the Christian faith is when there is a false prophet that is being spoken about. Or a prophet or a pastor that did something. And I've told you, the solution to a church, remember Dapple, remember?
Yeah.
You spend thousands of pounds on your child to go to school, and he comes back home and starts telling you A for apple, B for bapple, C for capple, D for dapple, Z for zapple. Right? What do? You don't say, stay in this house, nobody will train you again. What do? You go online and look for another school. Right? You go to a hospital and they don't treat you as you expect. What do? You go to another hospital. If your workplace doesn't treat you well, what do? You don't say, I'm not working again. My manager offended me. I'm not working again. Hunger will push you. If nothing else can push you in this life, hunger will push you. Right? You see, don't allow hunger to push you. When hunger pushes you, it bypasses the law of gravity. Praise God. Right? So the solution to a workplace where you think you are abused is what? Another workplace. Yeah, the solution to a church that hurts you, let's assume they hurt you, is what? Another church. That's how important the church is. All together. Yeah, you cannot claim that you worship God from your bedroom. Yeah, we're going to see that today. So, Jacob will have a vision, and he will call that place, or we'll call that place the anointed place. So, you now see scripture to say, touch not my anointed and do my prophet what? No harm. So, who are the anointed? The anointed are the prophets that are in the anointed Bethel. We've talked about it, right? So the anointed Bethel is a place that has anointed people who are prophets. So every believer, are we together, is to be a prophet. Praise God. Praise God. What I said is heavy. A prophet is one that is a spokesperson on behalf of another. Are we together? A prophet is one that is a spokesperson on behalf of another. Right, so every believer that is found in the anointed Bethel is to be a spokesperson about the anointed Bethel. Are we together? So that's a recap of what I've taught in the last 2 weeks. Now go to Matthew 16. You're in Matthew 28, don't forget that. But go to Matthew 16. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Matthew's Gospel 16, verse 13. Please feel free to use any of these chairs in front. Praise God forevermore. Right? Are you Matthew's Gospel 16?
Yeah.
Look at Matthew 16, verse 13. Matthew 16:13. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I am? Or who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Matthew's Gospel 16. Now, verse 14. He says, "And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist." Are we together? "And some say that thou art" what? "Elijah. Others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Matthew's Gospel 16, verse 15. He said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" What did he say? Simon Peter answered and said unto him, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon by Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art" what? "Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gate of hell shall not prevail against it." Look at verse 19. "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be" what? "Bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be" what? "Loosed in heaven." Now, on Wednesday, we started looking at this scripture. To bind and to loose is not to cast out devils. Yeah? Let me show you that quickly. Go to Matthew 18. Go to Matthew 18. Go to Matthew 18. I'm looking for Matthew 18. I think I'm probably looking on verse 18. Okay? Look at Matthew's Gospel 18. Go all the way to verse 14. "Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault" between what? "Between you and" what? I'm going to come back to this teaching properly. What did Jesus teach should happen when a brother faults you? Dear Saints of God's Palace Christian Assembly, Edinburgh chapter. What did Jesus say should happen when one person offends you? Well, what? "Go and meet him and tell him his fault between thee and him alone." So when somebody upsets you or somebody offends you, who is the first person not to tell? Another, you got it. Another person. Another person is the bracket for every other person. Can somebody offend you? Anything that makes you say no, you've not lived long enough. And the only person that has not lived there long enough are people like Chidalu and Eri. And I can tell you so much lies. Sometimes their parents offend them. They know. They know. They know. So if you just live 1 year on this earth, people will offend you. Wait, your parents offend them. All of you grew up in places where there sometimes they did something to you, wanted to pack your load. All of you. All of us. Let me not say all of you. Your father will scold you silly. You say, I'll pack my load, I'll leave the house. It's not far. Let's go out first. You know, now that we are growing, we're going to see the kind of things that our parents went through in a new dimension. Gen Z dimension. Raising children in this generation. That's why when I say someone say I want to have 5 children, I say, the earth is a lot, I agree, it's okay. But when you think of what one person can do to you, you will take a step back and zoom in. That's like you will count the cost. You will ask yourself questions. You will you know what you call there's something they call personal analysis. Is it personal analysis? Did I get it right? You know that? Which one is? There's this common one we usually do. SWOT! SWOT. You can do SWOT analysis in your family. You can do PESTA. PESTA is political, economical, social. You know you need all those technology. You need all those factors. That you and your wife or your family should just sit together. Let's do PESTA analysis on the next child. Yeah? So, in the real sense, we know what our parents did to us. Now, sometimes we see some things that our younger ones do to us, and you're like, we did worse, but we hide away from it. You know what you did in school? You know. You know how God delivered you? You know. Praise Jesus forevermore. Everybody look at me straight to my eye. Lift your holy eyes. So, the Bible says that, it says, when somebody offends you, what do? You speak to him and him alone. Please look at the next one. No? If he shall hear thee, then thou had gained thy brother. So what is the goal of speaking to him and him alone? To gain your brother. Alright? So look at the next verse. Is there any tendency that when you speak to somebody alone, the person doesn't listen to you? Yeah. Ah, yes, now he's human. Look at what Jesus says. He says, but if he will not hear you, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be what? Established. What is Jesus teaching? Forgiveness. Is that not true? But much more than forgiveness is reconciliation. Are you with me? Much more than forgiveness is reconciliation. Because you can say, I forgive him. You know, some of us like to do that kind of thing. I forgive him, but my back and my back, they don't cross. I say you forgive. Right? You forgive somebody. The person is coming out from elevator. You're about to enter a new staircase. Are we together? Right? What did Jesus say? You see, one of the best ways to approach hurt is to confront it. The problem we have is how to confront it. We'll teach this later properly in this series. But I'm heading somewhere today. So he said, if you take two or three and nobody hears you, I hope you know that the two or three you are taking must be mature people.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
You know that some people, you tell your challenge and they make it worse in your heart. I don't take that nonsense. No. I don't take it. You are either here or here. I like when people are straightforward. Ah, that's not the person you're talking about. That's not the two or three. That one is minus two. That one person that you're is minus two already. So if you're taking that one that is minus two, you need four people. Because you need three people to replace the two, so it will be zero. You understand? Right? So it says, take two or three. It says, if they don't hear you, what happens? If he shall neglect you, neglect to hear them, look at verse 17, tell it unto the church. But if he neglects to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Look at what Jesus says in the next verse, right? Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever things that thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Look at verse 19. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, and if it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, here, there I am in their midst. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often should my brother sin against me? You see, the conversation is not close. Jesus has said, somebody offends you. You carry the first person. You go alone. You speak to him. You see that thing you did. I really don't like it. Right? But I forgive you. Right? Or, that thing you did. Can you explain to me your intention? All together. Right? You forgive yourself. So, Jesus now says, whatever you bind on earth, on earth shall be bound in heaven. What did he use that narrative to teach? Forgiveness and reconciliation. So to bind and loose had nothing to do with demons. Amen.
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 Right? So you see cats at your window. I bind you. Well, I hope your mind is not in Matthew 16 or Matthew 18. Because what you will be saying in the recess, I forgive you. Ah, yes, now. If you are binding cats and losing cats, you are shouting, I forgive you. I forgive you. You see why Bible knowledge is important? So Peter now comes and says, how often should I forgive one person? That's the question on your heart. I know all of you. Yeah? Pastor, how many times should one person offend me and I forgive them? Hear Jesus. Jesus says unto him, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which will take account of his servants. No, I skipped something. Oh, sorry. Verse 21. I'll try one. Where is 17? Yeah? Look at 21. Then King Peter to him and asked, how often should my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Is this seven times? You know, Peter tries to put a cap. You know when you're asking somebody a question and you tell the person the answer in your question? You just want the person to say the answer that you said in your question so you can agree. Yeah, that's what people do, especially in Bible interpretation. You have a knowledge about the word, then you try to look for scriptures to support you. I used to call it backup scripture. Scripture, there's a name I used to call it before. When you're using scriptures to back yourself up. what do you call it?
Reference.
Okay, reference will make you look as if, because when in sound doctrine you can reference. But this one, you are saying, this is my stand. What scripture can I use to support my stand? Do you understand? For instance, you wake up January 1st, you say, this year I have a vision, I want to buy a house and 7 cars. What do you do? The Bible says Habakkuk 2. Though the vision may tarry, it will surely come to pass. So what happens is that my vision is not close to it's still tarrying. So though it may tarry, you now add tongues to it. Oh, frost came and now garden. Yeah? See, you write the vision, make it plain. How many visions have we written? How many visions? Is vision achieved by writing? You know, a lot of people that actually achieve vision, a lot of times they don't write.
Yeah.
Think about the things that you've achieved in your life, the few things you might have achieved. Where did you write it? Now, there's nothing wrong in writing, but that's not the scripture to support writing your vision. He says, write the vision, make it plain. You go and place the vision on your fridge. You go and place the vision at your door. You have a vision board. So let he that sees run. I remember one man teaching it. He says, such that anybody that sees your vision should be running. Like, people can interpret in their own diverse ways. Say, let he that sees run. Now, the Bible, we've taught you before in Habakkuk 2. The vision that was for an appointed time is the vision of Christ Jesus. So, Habakkuk was telling his generation that though Jesus may tarry, wait for him, he will surely come. Habakkuk, Hebrews will now show you that scripture is about Jesus. So what do? We try to look at Psalm 118. Let me show you one quickly again. Psalm 118. We're looking at local church. Are you Psalm 118 verse 22? Psalm 118:22. Are you there? It says, "The stone which the saints." The stones which the builders. Interesting. Everybody look at Jesus. The stone which the builder what? Rejected has become the what? Chief cornerstone. What's the next verse? This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Yeah? What happened? They rejected you in your family. Altogether, you are living in the village. They rejected it. They say nothing good will come out from you. You go to the city. You start working hard. People are seeing you work hard. They think it's your passion for work. But it's because of the words they said to you. My mom used to tell me when she was younger, they told her that she doesn't need to go to school. That her fingers were long. She learned her writing. You see, it's in your family that the people... So they say your fingers are long. Just learn her writing. So what happens to her? She goes into the city. The stone will be there. So even when Christmas comes, you don't even have money to eat well. You gather small money. Buy one sapam. And buy one new clothes. And buy one smart perfume, smart collection of perfume. And go there. I'm going to say, the stone which the builder rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our sight. See, there's something I found out about life. There's nothing as painful as when you leave a place or a people and finding out that God did not live with you. Or God did not leave them because you left. It's painful. It's painful. That's why the attitude and the heart you must have towards the saints or the local church is the heart of doing things as an end in itself. Yeah, it's painful. Yeah, so what now happens? You're having a quarrel with somebody. The person supposedly leaves your life, but the person is checking your social media every day. Waiting for bad news. Like, why? When they see bad news, you say, yeah, they don't try us that are anointed. don't try us that are anointed. We tell you. They started people around them. Go ask them. You know how these things go. For the stone the builder rejected, has become the chief cornerstone. It's not the Lord's doing. Look at Acts chapter 4. It's marvelous. Look at Acts chapter 4. So we have used that scripture for people that the office, they call, if a company doesn't give you rejection, they're not the stone that was rejected. Do you understand? Every company cannot hire you.
Yes, sir.
You don't know? Wait, you think I don't collect L? You know what L is? You know what L is? I collected, unfortunately, in Christ. Are we together? In the last 1 to 2 years, I would have collected close to 800, unfortunately. Only me. Not me and my family. Only me. And in each of those, unfortunately, I'm always here saying, glory! That is why your glory is not dependent, should not be dependent on your job.
Yes,
see, anytime you see your company say they are laying off, let that just reason in your head that, type and shadow.
Mm.
If it can happen to one, it can happen to any.
Yes, sir.
Are we together?
Yes.
So, do allow your rejoicing. Pastor says, glory, shed glory, you shout glory. Everybody shouting glory because of finished work. You are shouting glory because of the new job.
Mm.
What happens when the job goes? There's no job that has eternal life.
Yeah.
I hope you know. There's no job that is eternal. There's no job that is eternal. The only job that can be eternal will be a job that started in 1910. And everybody that joined that company, the only time they left was they died. Do you understand? Right? So when a company rejects you, don't use for scripture to support you. Though it may tarry. See, it may tarry, can tarry. Look at Acts 4, verse 9. Acts of the focus, man. If we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole. Look at verse 8, sorry. Excuse me, thank you. Look at Acts 4:8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Jerusalem, of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead. So who killed Jesus? Man. God did not kill Jesus, okay? Yeah? Jesus was not killed by God. Jesus was killed by man. God raised him up. Look at it again, right? It says, whom God raised from the dead, even by this man does the man stand here before you whole. Look at verse 11. 1, 2, 3, go. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builder, which has become the head of the corner. Look at verse 12. What is he about? Neither is there salvation in it. So the stone and the builder is a narrative about salvation.
Yeah.
So go back to Psalm 119. So the stone which the builder refused is a prophecy of what will happen to Christ Jesus. Are you following now?
Yes.
Psalm 118, verse 22. The stone which the builder has refused has become the what? Headstone of the corner. Is that Jesus Christ? So look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. Let's read the next verse together. Verse 23. 1, 2, 3, go. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. So what is the Lord's doing? Raising him from the dead is the Lord's doing. So in raising him from the dead, he is making him the chief cornerstone. So what is the next verse? This is the what? This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So the day that the stone becomes the chief cornerstone becomes the day in which we rejoice and we are glad in. Mind you, the day is not a Monday. It's not a Tuesday. Neither is it a Sunday. The day is a period, the dispensation of his resurrection. So you are not the stone that the builder rejected. Did you get that? You are not the stone that the builder rejected because man rejects you. No, the scriptures point our attention to the work of salvation and the one that supplies salvation, Christ Jesus. So Peter will be teaching from Psalm 119. Why? Because Peter's Bible was Genesis to Malachi. Are you following me this morning? So the question that becomes, how do we learn these things? My dear saints, you learn these things by listening to other men. How did I learn what I'm teaching you today? I learned what I'm teaching you today by listening to anyone. You see, there's no rhema that I've never had that encounter of God tapping me by 3 a.m. or 3:04. What's the time? 3:04, my son, write it down. See the scripture. There's something I'm about to show you that even Paul did not know. You see, when you start hearing the Spirit of God telling you that you bind and cast. That's the other bind and cast, you know, not the Bible one. Are we together? Right? See, when you hear a pastor say something like, what I'm about to show you, nobody in this world has taught it. Spirit of God taught me privately. What do you do? You know that scripture that says, flee from every appearance. And that's where it is useful. Flee from every appearance. I always tell you something. You know, see, if two people were explaining one verse and two of them interpretation are different, is either one of them is correct? The other one is wrong? Or both of them are correct, are wrong? Both of them, can both of them be wrong?
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
That two of them are correct is not true. Because when the Bible was written, it was written with people in mind. That's what we're going to look at again shortly. Right? And it means that when you're writing a letter to someone, you have an intent. I can write a letter to you, for instance, and maybe I pass it through a delivery man. As the person is taking it to you, he opens it and reads it and reads his meaning into it. This is what this Mr. Joshua man would have felt. Hey, sorry. Imagine I said, oh, I played PES. I played FIFA. Right? I played FIFA with Staramide. Right? And I dealt with her. I flogged her. You know, I can also write, I flogged her, but I killed her. I can also say, I destroyed her. But what do I mean by destroyed? When you read my letter, you will need to understand that this guy would have been talking about flogging and dealing with her like 20-0. In the name of the Lord. Are we together? Imagine that person picks my letter and says, hey, I'm taking this to the police station. It's not my hand they wish to deliver that somebody kills somebody. You see, that's what we're laughing. That's what a lot of us do as Christians. You know, Lord, speak to me. Lord, as I open your word, as I open your word, minister to my spirit. Anywhere I open, there is Holy Spirit to do draw your sword. I usually give that story of the man that opened the Bible like that. The first part, he saw that somebody killed somebody. He said, no, that's not really the Holy Spirit. Or the Holy Spirit. No, I think it was about, he now saw Judas hung himself. He now opened the scripture and say, so a random scripture is, and Judas hung himself. No, that's not a grammar to me. And that's when he opened, he said, do it quickly. So we want to put out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, a word is established. So what is your spirit saying to you? Go and hang yourself, do it fast. You can't read the Bible like this. The Bible is to be interpreted by reading the Bible. So what is God's intention for your understanding of the Bible? God's intention is that another man should teach you. Are we together? Do you know that Jesus was taught by men before he taught other men?
Yeah.
It's in Luke, Bible. It's in Luke. Are we together? So Peter's response, go back to Matthew 16. Peter's response to Jesus, he says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Are you there? Matthew 16. Look at verse 17. Or verse 18. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Now, when we start looking at the word church, we say the word church is the word ecclesia. Write that down, please. The word church is the word ecclesia. E-K-K-L-E-S-I-A. So, Jesus says, I will build my ecclesia. That's my church. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not withstand it, or shall not prevail against it. Right? And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be what? Bound in heaven. Now, when we saw binding and losing in Matthew 18, it has to do with what? Forgiveness. When we see binding and losing in Matthew 16, it has to do with what? Forgiveness. How do you know? Look at it again. It says, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. That's the word key. Keys there will speak about authority. Right? And whatever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever thou shalt lose shall be loosed in the earth. What is Jesus talking about before he said that, I will build my church? That means Jesus is saying, I will build a forgiving people. I will build a people that are forgiving. Right? So how does God build a people that are forgiving? God builds the people that are forgiving when binding and losing is done. Look at John 20. John 20. Are you still with me this morning? Look at John 20. John 20:21. Then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you, as my Father had sent me, even so send I you. So Jesus is saying, my Father has sent me, I send you. Peace be unto you. And when he had said this, he what? He breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. So what did Jesus do? He breathed on them, right? What does it mean to breathe on them? Bring your head. Amen. Do you think that's what Jesus was doing? I did. That's not what Jesus was doing. Right? So he breathed on them. When the Bible says that God breathed into the nostrils of man, don't think of about Jesus. About Jesus. Okay. He says, and when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Yeah? So fundamentally, how will a man receive the Holy Ghost? Let's talk about receiving the Holy Ghost as a man without the Holy Ghost. You receive the Holy Ghost by believing a message. Mm-hmm. Altogether. Yeah. You don't receive the Holy Ghost by a breeze blown on you. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah? So it says, whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are what? Retained. So Jesus is teaching about remitting sins and retaining sins. Yeah, we taught that on Wednesday, and we tried to connect the dots with how that is similar to binding and losing. Are we together? So the teaching of binding and losing is a concept that God will use to build his church. The concept of remitting and retaining sins of man is the concept by which God will use to build his church. Are we together? So when you preach the gospel, there are two kinds of people. One is the one that is whose sins are remitted, and one is the one whose sins are retained. How do you retain the sins of man? You preach the gospel. You're not the one that wants to say your sins are retained. No, it is when you preach the gospel, they reject it. So in rejecting or accepting, you know whether their sins are retained or so. Jesus gave them the authority to retain and to remit the sins of man. How would that be done? When the gospel is being preached. So the gospel is about God bringing man from the bondage of darkness and calling them out into his kingdom of light. 1 Peter 2:9. For ye are a chosen generation, a royal what? Priesthood, an holy nation. And what again? A peculiar people. A people that are called for to show his marvelous light. You've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. So that you can go call more other people. So when we bind and lose, there's a concept of forgiveness that is being taught. In that being taught, what is happening? Genesis 1. Genesis 1. We saw that on Sunday. Genesis 1:27. Genesis 1 verse 27. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Now we saw on Sunday that male and female will be a representation of humanity found in him or in Christ or found in the image of God. Are we together? Now, let me say this in passing. We'll come back to it later. When the Bible teaches about the image of God, don't think about the image as a picture. Are we together? Right? The image of God has to do with a representation and a functionality. Are we together? Yeah? The image of God has to do with a functionality or a representation. Right? So male and female, that is humanity, God's will is that they are found in Christ. So when they are found in Christ, it means they are what? What's the word Christ in the Greek? Christos. Yeah? What is Christos in the Hebrew? Mashak. Yeah? What is Mashak in English? You can call it anointed. So Christos is about the anointed. The anointed is about what Jacob did, the Mashaked or the Mashaking, right? And in that we find the anointed. So when God makes man and woman, or what is God's will for man and woman, is that they are found in the anointed. Are we together? Are we together? Right? Now, what did God do in verse 28? Genesis 1, 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Amen? Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Now, if you ask an average person in our world today, how many children do you want to have? A lot of people will tell you 1, 2, 3. Very few will tell you 4. Very few will tell you 5. Very, very, very few will tell you 6. Then very few will tell you 7. Yeah? And there are some that will tell you none. Do you know that some people don't want to give birth? And I hope you know that if you decide not to want to give birth, you are not against scriptures. Amen? You can decide and say, I don't want to have a child. There's nothing that's scriptural about that. Because no matter how much you say you want to have a child, other people want to have children. There are some that don't want to have children, but they will have children. Pause and ponder. That's a lie. Alright? Some of you, your parents have told you, we didn't plan for you. Help out Jesus. Just remember you are in Christ. Yeah? So parents say, we didn't plan for you. We just appeared and you came. Yeah? Yeah? You know? And some people, I was talking to a member in Nigerian church last week. And I was saying, she was saying, I should not expect her baby when the baby came. I said, hey, why did you call the baby surprise? Why did you call the baby surprise? So every time you are calling your baby, you remember that he shocks you. As a surprise. You know, people are bearing surprise. People call people's names. People give their children names based on experiences. You see, God has given man the power to give your child any name. You understand? You can give your child any name. It's common sense that will make you not to give your child Judas. But you know there's nothing wrong with Judas. Judas. You know what it means? You know what Judas means? What is it? Talk like believers now. What is Judas? You think Judas is betrayer? I mean though. You actually think Judas is betrayer? Some of you are believing it. You believe Judas is betrayer. Judas lived his life, then betrayed now. They could not have been living with Judas as a betrayer. How are you doing? You all right today? That's not what they did. So, and Judas actually, a lot of scholars are sitting with Judah, which means praise. But people don't keep their children Judas. Yeah? Because there's a Judas. Yeah? But it's up to you. So if you give birth to a child and you name him Judas, or you see a colleague and the person's name is Judas, don't begin to say, except you have the parent, and the parent said they've seen ahead. They've seen ahead. What do? You carry your load. Praise God forever. So in the real sense, God has given man the ability to choose. I want to give birth, I don't want to give birth. So the Bible says, be fruitful and multiply. What he is teaching is what? Remit and retain the sins of man. Are you following me? Yeah, we talked about it on Wednesday. When he says be fruitful and multiply, what is he saying? Bind and loose. Are we together? Right? So to be fruitful and multiply does not mean to be giving birth to children at will. No. Even men of old, they decided when they wanted to have children a lot of times. Are we together? I remember your brother that was in church in Nigeria a couple years ago, probably 10 years ago. You know, my dad was asking him one day, how many children do you have? I can't remember the figure I even knew. And the wife was heavily pregnant. Right? You know, you cannot say, why are you behaving like this? No. It's his choice. So to fulfill, so when he says be fruitful and multiply, to fulfill that scriptures, that doesn't mean give birth to plenty children. It means do the work of an evangelist. Do the work of binding and losing. Do the work of retaining and remitting the sins of man. So what happens? When you get someone saved and you disciple them, and more people are being saved through that person and they are being discipled, what is happening? Fruitfulness, multiplication, and replenishing the earth. So God wants the earth to be replenished, not with children. God wants the earth to be replenished with men who have the light in them. So what happens? You would have to be the one to take the light into dark areas and shine their heart on their heart. That's why a church that does not prioritize evangelism is not as much doing the will of the Father. Why? Because it's our goal to reach out to the lost. There are men in darkness. We'll reach out to them and we'll shine light into their hearts. Why? Because God's instruction from the beginning is be fruitful and what? Multiply. Are we together? So now let's start something this morning. We'll continue on Wednesday, but let's start it today. Now there's a difference between the universal church and the local church. Okay? There's a difference between the universal church and the local church. Now, what is the universal church about? Right? The universal church is about every single person that is born again. Yeah, the universal church is about every single person that is what? Born again. So every believer is a member of the universal church. What does it mean for a man to be born again? For God so loved the world. And he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him shall not what? Perish, but have what? Everlasting life. So a man has everlasting life by believing the message of the gospel. A man has everlasting life by believing the message of the gospel. Once a man believes that message, he has come into the universal church. So there's something called the local church. What is the local church? The local church is the gathering. Don't forget, let's start somewhere. What is church? We said church is ecclesia.
Yeah.
Is that true? What does ecclesia mean? We said it's a people that are called out. I gave that definition on Wednesday, but I didn't say it today. A people that are called out and they are brought into. Right? So Hebrews 12 will let you see that we have come to Mount Zion, the what? The city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, the company of the general assembly of the church, that is the called out of the firstborn. Are we together? Right? So what exactly is the firstborn? The firstborn is Christ himself. And Christ, let me say this carefully. Christ is the first fruit as well. Are we together? Yeah, I saw a video training recently. Somebody saying that your first fruit is for me as your pastor. Yeah? Well, if you give me your first fruit, I will not reject. But that you give me your first fruit, especially you will just have multiplication in money this year. And now I was telling you, money does not multiply by seed sowing. That's one of the greatest scams that has been taught in the church. Pastor, I want to connect to your life. I want to connect to the oil in your life. I want multiplication. I saw a video, a friend of mine sent a video recently of someone, a pastor who bought a car, and everybody went to the car to go and be touching it to tap. Are we together? You know, materialism is one of the greatest deceptions that people embrace with their hearts. Why should you give me £10,000 and get £1,000,000? Why? No, answer that question genuinely. Why? Because you're a thief. Like, why should you give me £1,000 and I prophesy 100-fold? Like, nothing to do. You just all of a sudden just, oh, why? You know, we still, if money is made that way, nobody should be poor. Money should not be poor. No matter how much, I did a post recently, not recently, years ago. I stopped doing posts like 3-4 years ago. I did a post called, no matter what you call it, either you call it first fruit, Isaac seeding, or seedling, or Jacob seed. You don't multiply money by sowing. You multiply money by sowing in the ground. That means you go into industry. You invest. You what? You invest. Right, and that's why I did the series we did last year about the generous heart, right? To teach exactly why do we give. You know, when you give, it has gone. Say it has gone. Yeah, when you give, it has gone. You say bye bye. Yeah, 2 minus 1 with God is not 100. God no man's 2. 2 minus 1 with God is 1. As I always tell you, if you sow the first seed, and you say, I always give this example because I'm always, it's important you hear. A man wanted to get the contract and package money. So today, I don't know what he put in the envelope. And he gave it to me as I said, he said he wants to get a contract. And I said, I hope you know, this is not an assurance of getting this contract. Seed sowing does not work to give contracts. If you've not met the secretary, you see, if you want to sow seed to get a contract, the best person to give is the secretary. The secretary is that anointed. Or the man himself signing it is more anointed than me. Yeah? You can't, and that's why some of us the bamboozle was. I started giving my tithe in this church, oh, praise the Lord, oh, my lifestyle being tithe is a lie. You gave tithe in the church and gave more than tithe to the man that is signing it. Which one what? Is that one? Is that one, no? Yeah, that's why when you see a lot of people, they say they gave money and they came back to them 100-fold. Why can't they drop the whole 100-fold and get 1,000-fold? I always tell you, you just need initial capital. Then what do you do? Roll over. You know what roll over is? That's how some people roll over and they lost all their money. MMM. You know what MMM is? The Greek name for Ponzi scheme. Yeah? What is? You see, and people take that mindset to church. Give 10. Anybody that asks you to bring 10, and they say you bring 4 people. Once you start hearing, bring 4 people. We pastors are supposed to also come with that, not with that teaching. When you drop your seat, bring 3 people. Because it is the 3 people that will give you back your money. Above Jesus. Right? So the Bible never used seed sowing, for instance, as for money. The Bible never, but seed in the Bible either means the word of God, yeah, Mark 4, or the physical seed that a farmer sows in the land, right? Why did I show you that? Because I said the church of the firstborn is as well the first fruit, right? And the first fruit is not January salary. Amen?
Amen.
Right. Is there anything wrong in giving January salary and everything in all? There's nothing wrong in that. But once you've given it, you have 11 more for the year. You understand? It's 11 to go. Right? If you give your first month salary, will I return it back to you? You know why I'll not return it back to you? I've been shouting it. Why do you think I always bring this in my various teachings? It's intentional. You will not hear, you will not hear. You will not say you've not heard, though. Ah, it's not possible. You see, I always try to link it, and I will bring it, and you will not say you've not heard. Do you understand? Can a man decide to want to give his first fruit? There's nothing wrong with that. But you must know that you give as an end in itself. So Christ, so what the Bible teaches about first fruits? It's a teaching about the first begotten from the dead. So the first fruit in the Bible is a person, not money. Yeah? The first fruit in the Bible is Jesus himself, who is the seed which is the word of God. Okay? So we said the church is the calling out of people. That's the ecclesia. So when Jesus said, I will build my church, was Jesus talking about the local church? Hold on, I went faster than myself. We said the universal church is the gathering of people who are saved in the entire world. Is that not true?
Yeah.
Now, the local church is the gathering together of people that are saved within a locality. Are you here? The local church is the gathering of people that are saved within a locality. The local church is the gathering of people that are saved within a local area. Because God's plan is that the earth will be filled with people who are saved. No one building can house every Christian. Get that? So because no one building can house every Christian, it simply means that there will need to be several buildings where several Christians are meeting at several times to do the work of the Father. Altogether. And I hope you know that coming a local church is not a church because they meet on Sunday. Altogether. Why do we meet on Sunday? It's because in the world, generally in our community, Sunday is an accepted day for holiday. Together. That's why we cannot afford to put our people into trouble when we are calling special Monday prayer, 9 a.m. Amen.
Amen.
Special Tuesday prayer. And we decide to be 12 o'clock. And so everybody must gather for 2 hours. There's a lot of problem with that. Yeah. Sometimes, eh, the passion we're supposed to have towards the things of God, we put it towards the things of work. And the passion we're supposed to have towards the things of work, we put it towards the things of God. Are we together? Are we together? Right. We can decide to have a special one-off meeting on a Friday morning that will last for 5 hours, but it must be one-off. But when our meetings are every Friday, 9 a.m., so are we expected to take public holiday, like a holiday or something, or leave every Friday? How does that work? Together. So we meeting on Sundays is not because Sunday is a holy day. Hallelujah. Are we together? Sunday is not a holy day. Sunday is only a holy day because we made it holy. That means we decided to set apart a time in Sunday to do something. Yeah? There are countries around the world where Sunday is a work day. Are we together? And churches that are there, they took their meetings either on a Friday or on a Saturday. They are not less of a local church as long as they are doing the will of the Father. So what is the local church? The gathering of people, the gathering of people who are in the universal church within a locality. So God's Palace is a local church in Edinburgh because it is established for saints who are within Edinburgh, within Dundee, Glasgow, around the UK, or a reachable distance from church. All together. Right? So, the importance of the church you decide to go for or go with, you don't choose hospital based on the distance to your house. Are we together? You don't choose school based on the distance to your house. Sometimes, let me add a loan. Some people don't care less. Some people just don't care. Right? But you don't also choose work. You don't say, I'm not going to choose any work that's anything that's not within Edinburgh. What's his living there? I don't know. You open your heart to anywhere there's job. That's the same way you open. You don't choose a local church because of, this church is closer to me. That church is far. No. You look at how close is a local church to the epistles? How close is a local church to the teaching of God's word? How do they prioritize God's word? How do they prioritize prayer? Are we together? The most important thing in our gatherings is word and prayer. Particularly word, because we will only pray aright when we are taught aright. Believers meeting, we only do believers meeting aright when we are taught aright. Our praise and worship sessions, our praise sessions, will only be done when we are taught aright. So, your local church should be how close are they to the epistles, not how close are they to your house. So, it means you will make sure, like some of you here, you come almost 2 hours every Sunday before you get to church, to this local church. Not because you are not because there are not 50 or more churches you will possibly pass before you get to Edinburgh. We have a sister here who came all the way from Glasgow every single Sunday for a full year. Not because there was no church 5 minutes away from her. That is because she prioritizes the word of God. Some of us just like, frivolities. You don't choose church because they give food at that Sunday service. That's pathetic. You will eat and go to the toilet. Right? And when they come and press you in the night, you will not know what to do. Because you've eaten rice. You've taken salad. And there's nothing wrong in giving you salad. Nothing wrong in eating salad. There's nothing wrong in it. But don't you, people are carnal in this, and this truth needs to be said. Why are you going to a place where all you do is to gyrate? Why will you be burning more calories in church than in the gym? In the name of praise and worship. Do you understand? That's why sometimes we praise and worship God for 40 minutes, we forget ourselves, we forget the word. What is that for the word? You say, everybody. Amen. That's why you see the consistency. Touch the brother beside you. Why are they touching you? Do you understand? I'm so grateful to God that we don't have, I mean, we still have those kind of people. Why was the pastor be teaching? Every time I say, touch your brother beside you. Are you up? Oh, yeah, everybody up. Sometimes you have to do my head, my shoulder. And so that everybody, they all belong to Jesus. So that you will not sleep. Church service has how many minutes? So people decide the best place to sleep is church. Say, Pastor, we don't have our attention span is so short. We don't listen for long. Like, you know, Pastor, I tune off after the first 15 minutes. Tune off radio. As I just tune off. Pastor, anything you say afterwards, I don't accumulate it. I just Pastor, your first 15 minutes drop the point. See, this thing I'm laughing about, I've had experiences. I'm not figurative. So let's put your point in the first 20 minutes so I don't lose me. I don't lose you. Me that you can't listen to me for the first 20 minutes and get to the point. You're expecting me to summarize the whole teaching in 20 minutes. I've not noticed that there's some things I've taught months ago and I repeat it. And you are hearing the same thing. But you're like, Pastor, something happened to someone recently. I did the first teaching this year, right? I thought what I taught in that teaching was the exact note I taught in Christ's Dead last year. I was the exact note I taught in Christ's Dead 2 years ago. And the exact note. But guess what? After listening for a couple times, or maybe once or twice, it still sounded new. Why do you think we repeat the things we do? You can't listen to me, right, for 1 hour, 30 minutes, and get everything I said. So, if you have that question, let me answer it today. Why does Pastor use the first 30 minutes to be repeating? We know these things. If I give you mic, you will know you don't know. If I give you mic, let me just give you mic. Just come and stand here. Is there you? You see, the easiest place to pastor from is from the pew. The easiest place to be a leader from is from the pew. Don't you notice that all of us know how to be president?
Yes.
We all know the presidential tactics. If I were to be in the power, I'll first clear everybody here. You've not given me power. When you stand in the position to... when you start having disciples who are asking you questions, you'll now realize that some things I thought I knew, I need to hear. So you must get yourself to a place where training is done. So why do we encourage writing in the church? Don't be looking at my face. You take your writing, you write. Not to write, so a pastor will say, I'm bending my head down. No, if you are writing, so you go back home to revisit your notes. You see, when I teach, a lot of times I say, listen to this teaching again. I know why. Because there are things I say, and I say them again different ways, but they're the same things I'm saying. So why do you take notes? Yeah, I owe you all a teaching, right? How to take notes in the local church. I owe you that teaching, right? How to take notes in the local church. How do we write notes? Because it's very important. Some of you, the only notes you write in the old church service is the Bible verse. Even the Bible verse alone that you're writing, you, I will say 24, you say 29. I will say Matthew, you will try ahead, Ma. You write Mark. Yeah? Should we bring our notes? Glory to Jesus. Yeah. So the local church is the place. A gathering within a locality where disciples, or let me say differently, where people who are saved come together to be trained. That is why in gospel class we train ourselves rigorously. Rigorously. There's nothing wrong in doing all manner of things. Right? The most important thing is the word. What is the attention given to the word? Right, you don't choose local church because that's the place where people from my tribe gather the most. You don't choose local church because that's where people from my country gather the most. You don't choose local church because that's where people from my office gather the most. You don't choose local church because people that think like me. I know that's not because the local church is not for a set of people. The local church is for all flesh. That's why we can't afford to allow segregation in the local church. We have to prioritize the word. It is in the word being taught we fight against segregation. Right? So the local church is the place where we gather together to be well trained. Let me give you another definition. Right? Local church. Let me give you one definition. The local church is a place within our local area where we gather together to learn about the universal church. Okay? The local church is a local point in our local area, a meeting point in our local area, where we gather together, right, to learn about the universal church. The local church is that point in our area where we gather together to learn about the goal of the universal church. So every teaching I give you in this local church should spur you to want to do something about the universal church. You see, I shouldn't finish teaching today, and what that spurred you to become or to do is to do better. Let me say it differently: is to try to look for another job or to try and look for other sources of income. That's not the goal of local church. You know, some people say this like, Pastor, you need to be diverse. Pastor, do some seminars like this. You know, how to make good career choices. Now, there's nothing wrong when the church decides that there are some of us that know certain information about certain things. We can come together and have conversations around that. But not when it's our sacred, dedicated time to learn about the universal church. Are we together? You know, the church doesn't need to teach you how to write your CV. I hope you know. Most of you, you wrote your CVs that gave you your jobs, not because the church taught you. Are we together?
Yeah.
So the goal of the church is not to make you start thinking, how must I make it? The goal of the church is not to make you think of how rich you can become and how soon it can be. The goal of the church is to teach you. What is the goal of the universal church? That God wants to build his church. God wants to build his church. Or God is building his church. God is building his church. Now, what is his church? His church will be people of a called out, people of the same spirit that are called out together. Or you can say the church is the community of people who are saved. So local church will be the community of people who are saved in a local area. Simple. Yeah, so we are well trained, we are well discipled. So on Wednesday, we'll take it off from there and continue this teaching. I want to see something in Acts chapter 1 carefully. Think of what happens in Acts chapter 1. I want you to read Acts chapter 1 from verse 13. Then we'll go back to Acts chapter 1 from verse 1 and 2 and 3. Then we'll go back to Acts chapter 2. So look at Acts 1, 13 quickly. Acts chapter 1, verse 13. What I'm about to say to you is very important, okay? Now, you know, regarding the local church, okay, hold your hands in Acts 1. Yeah? And go to Ephesians chapter 4. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Okay? So hold on, okay? So look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 9. Now that he ascended, what is it that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that ascended is the same also that descended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some apostles. Now, I've taught you before, the word there, some. Yeah? The word there, some, is the word certainly or indeed. So, Ephesians 4 is not saying he gave some. Did you get that? He's not saying, look at it again. He says, and he gave some apostles or some prophets. He's not saying God just look at everybody. Bratunde, you are going to be a prophet. Sister Esther, you are an apostle. Sister Amarachi, you look like somebody that is going to be evangelist. Your legs are long. No, that's not what he's saying. Okay? Yeah. So he said, and again, so what he's teaching is certainly the gifts in the resurrection are the gifts of the apostle, gifts of the prophets, gifts of the evangelists, gifts of the pastors and teachers. What is the goal of everybody? Let's read verse 12 together. Ephesians 4:12. What is the goal of everybody? 1, 2, 3, go. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for for the edifying of the body of Christ. So what is the need for a local church? Perfecting of saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. What body of Christ is that?
Universal
church, you are following. So the reason we have ministry gifts, so you have a pastor, so he can train you for the perfection of the Christian growth, for the work of ministry, so that the church of Christ is built up. You get that? Now, let me show you verse 13. What does verse 13 teach? Let's read verse 13 together. Ephesians 4, 13. 1, 2, 3, go. Till we all come in the... Are we in church today? Let's read verse Ephesians 4, verse 8, 15, 13 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Hold on. What is unity of faith there? Are we here? Don't lose track. What is unity of faith there? Unity of faith does not mean when God's palace meeting upstairs and God's delight meeting downstairs decide to play football next week Saturday. Unity of faith doesn't mean when God's peace and God's place and God's palace start doing the house sports. Unity of faith there, he qualifies it. He says, and. The word there, and in the Greek is the word I mean to say that is to say which is to say. Right? So, 2 Corinthians 13, 14, we say the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and, yeah, the love of God and the fellowship of the Spirit. The word and there means I mean to say that is to say which is to say. So it is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean to say the love of God that is to say the fellowship of the Spirit. So you understand the love by the grace and by the giving of the Spirit. That same word and comes in here. So we'll come to the unity of faith. I mean to say of the knowledge. So it means that knowledge, the unity of faith means that God's palace upstairs and God's place downstairs are teaching the same about Jesus. That's unity of faith. So does God expect there is something called unity of faith in the universal church?
Yes.
So if there's something called unity in the universal church, would there be something called unity in the local church?
Yeah.
So go to Acts 1. So to go to Acts 1, 13. So, and when they were coming, they went up into the upper room where abode Peter and all the likes. Verse 14. These all continued with one accord. Can we say in unity?
Yeah.
One sense of purpose. So they continued with one accord in what? Prayer and supplication. Go to Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Acts 2, 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. So they were about to have believers meeting, they were in unity. They were praying, they were in unity. Go to Acts 1. Then unto the day in verse 2, in which he was taken up after the truth, the Holy Ghost had given commandment unto the apostles which he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining the what?
Kingdom of God.
Do you suppose they were in one accord as well?
Yeah.
So when they were taught, they were in one accord. When they were praying, they were in one accord. When they were about to have believers meeting, one accord. So it means the local church is a place where one accord needs to be prioritized. You see, the devil will try his very best to create disunity in the local church, but must be ready to fight it. All together. The devil, imagine a football team playing with one mind of purpose, one unity, one sense of unity, one accord. What happens? Any player that is on your side, what do you do that is close to you? You pass the ball to them. But if you are fighting number 10 and you are playing central back number 2, what happens? The ball will never leave from your position to the midfield. You will either be looking for number 3, right? Or you're looking for number 5. Or you're looking for number 11. Why? That's disunity. Meanwhile, you can pass to number 10. 10 helps you in a more comfortable way to number 11 or number 9 or number 7. Amen. One of the greatest gifts we can have as a church is unity. So everything that wants to fight against our unity, what do we do? We need to tackle it. So from Wednesday, I'll start showing you some examples in scriptures. I showed you a little about Absalom. We'll look at Absalom soon. You know who Absalom was? Absalom. You don't need Absalom around. Amen. When you see Absalom, what do? You tackle Absalom immediately. Right? Absalom can be a person, It can be a careless statement from a person. Sometimes Absalom does not become, does not know it's Absalom. That's the funny thing. But anything that is against our unity, because the goal is that for all men to come to the knowledge of Christ, right? And the goal from Ephesians is that we all come to unity of faith. So unity is important in the body. So it means unity needs and also be important in the local gathering. So we have to be a people of unity. One mind, one purpose. Going in one direction. When we have a sense of leadership. Are we together? Are we together? It's needed in the local church. So from Wednesday, we will take our pace up a little. I start looking at scriptures. You know there are stories in the Bible. You know why you have stories in the Bible? Every story in the Bible is written with an intent. An example of who you should become. Or an example of who you should not become. Are we together? Cain and Abel. Don't let it end at Cain and Abel. You need to know who you should become. And know who not to become. It's not just story to be writing and be drawing tree for children. It is, the Bible says that these things were written aforetime for our learning. So we need to learn from the stories. All together. Right? So we'll pick it up again on Wednesday.